Okay, welcome to the Thursday edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I'll be here for the next 2 hours on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I wanted to mention one program note. You can get a hold of the Republic Broadcasting Network now on the Internet at republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. So go there instead of the old rbnlive.com. Also, we'll have all the archives updated in the next couple days, according to the staff at Republic Broadcasting Network. In the interim, you can listen to the recent shows on my website at www.arcticbeacon.com. Go down to a box that says Important Notice, click on Audio Archives here, and you can hear today's show just in a couple hours after the show's over and all your other broadcasters on RBN. If you do that, and RBN should have their services up to date in the next couple days. I did want to mention this before I get to my guest in the next segment, Brian David Anderson, an avid activist and a researcher of the New World Order and many, many things. I wanted to mention this, that we're spearheading on this show two active movements moving across America, one in the political realm and one in the more religious political realm. The first one is what's called the Tour of Hope, which is a organizations that we're trying to form all around the country in towns, with people actively talking about more than just our political problems in America. This is a worldwide conspiracy, a New World Order conspiracy, with involvement by the Vatican and other religious organizations, and we're forming groups all over the country who realize this now. For example, in Oslo, Norway, there's a group now called the Tour of Hope that just met yesterday, March 6, 2007, and they are gathering names and also putting their views together. So that's going on there. There's also two or three other groups in Europe that are gaining strength, so we're moving in that direction over there. And also in Canada, we have Luan Fu from Vancouver, who's putting together a Tour of Hope group. So if you're in Vancouver and you want to get a hold of Luan, contact me at arcticbeacon@earthlink.net or call me at 509-242-9681, and you can figure out, you can learn how you can form your own Tour of Hope group. The idea is to network this and to have speakers come and open up this message all over the world. We have Gary Tales in New York, who wants to get a group going there. We have Richard Sanchez in San Diego. So if you're in those cities, you can contact me, and I'll get you a hold of those people. We have Nyla in Philadelphia, who wants to get a group going. Holly Avila, and I've lost her her town, but anyway, we'll find that out. And if you want to get a hold of any of these people forming these groups in America and Canada, you can contact me. And I'm sure there's much more interest if we can discuss this more. We're going to spend next Monday's show on this subject with the gentleman I've had on before from Italy, Leo Zagami. We're going to move this Tour of Hope a little bit farther Monday. So if you want to get involved, contact me. It's a worthwhile endeavor, because at least you're going to learn some things, and we'll provide literature and different things to the groups which we will organize together. But the main thing is to form a charter and to do it the old-fashioned way, meet people face-to-face, and let them know that you're standing strong against the New World Order. Tomorrow, another thing we're doing on this show is helping a group called the Citizen Candidate Party, and that is a gentleman by the name of John Buchanan, who's running for president. He's an investigative journalist who uncovered the Nazi connection with the Bush family that was documented in the congressional records. And so they'll be on tomorrow, and we'll talk about how you can join the Citizen Candidate Party. And this is a group of people that want to tell the truth about many things, and you can find out how you can run for Congress in your own community. We're going to be back right after this short message with my guest, Brian David Anderson. Back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal. Yeah.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Oh, walking towards Washington.
Walk till peace has come.
Okay, we're back in the Investigative Journal. My guest is Brian David Anderson. He's been with us before and told us a lot about. He had a very interesting story about the Kennedy assassination because of his location. He was from Dallas and worked as a photographer, and also knew one of the doctors who performed the autopsy. So we had a really good show about the Kennedy assassination. We're going to expand that a little bit today. Brian asked me if we could speak about, he's been doing some research about the Lincoln assassination, going way back to Abraham Lincoln. And we've had a gentleman by the name of C.T. Wilcox, who wrote a book called Transformation of the Republic. He's a Canadian, but wrote this book on the same subject. But I'm interested in knowing what Brian has to tell us today. Brian, how are you?
Hey there, what's happening?
Good, good. Well, let's start off right away. So you have some information you want to share about the Lincoln assassination. Go ahead.
This investigation goes on for many years, and is all based upon a friend of mine. Her real name was Mary Alice Kimmery, and her pen name was known as Linda Goodman. And Linda Goodman was a very prolific astrologer and wrote a book called Star Signs, another one called Sun Signs. And, in fact, she wrote Sun Signs first. It was very popular. And then she had got the biggest advance ever in publishing history for her book Star Signs. And so this is what it's based upon. When she was growing up as a child, she had a picture of Abraham Lincoln in her home. And she never understood why this big picture of Lincoln was in the home, and it looked fairly original. So when she was 21, 22 years old, she loaded up this picture of Lincoln and went to the National Archives, and she also went to the Smithsonian Institution, and they disassembled the picture and looked on the back, and they found out that it was signed by Lincoln. And this was a missing lithograph of Lincoln. They had all the ones cataloged, but this one was missing. And it was the only lithograph that had that was signed by Lincoln. So when this picture that was on the wall as she was growing up, that was just a memento, turns out then to be something worth at that time in the 60s, somewhere between $2 and $3 million. She then spent the next 40 years, 50 years of her life investigating how this picture got into the living room of her home. And it took her to the National Archives. It took her to the Smithsonian Institution. It took her to the Library of Congress. It took her in all different types of directions. And Linda is just a profound investigator, and she will not take no as an answer and very tenacious. And she then revealed a lot of the documents to me. Linda is now passed. She died about, 8, 9 years ago now. But before she died, she then showed me all of her research she had found over the years. And it was really quite amazing. And as she started to investigate this and look at it and et cetera, then what really was revealed is John Wilkes Booth, who was accused of assassinating the president, Lincoln did not assassinate him. He was not the assassin. All the evidence seems to point, what she discovered over the years, is the wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, is the one who actually murdered Abraham Lincoln. And she makes some very compelling cases. I think if this evidence was brought into court and they were to do a comparison between John Wilkes Booth and Mary Todd would be the one convicted, not John Wilkes Booth. Because it's very, very compelling evidence that she's the one that shot him. And it all goes back to then when Lincoln was born. Some say it was in Illinois. Some say it was in the Midwest or Midwestern states. But all the evidence indicates is that he was actually born in North Carolina. Then his family or his mother then traversed through and came and settled into the Illinois area. And people don't know this. This is another fascinating aspect of our history, is that in the area of North Carolina, around Charlotte, North Carolina, is actually one of the largest gold mines in the world. It was. It is now all depleted. But it was discovered in about 1775, this huge, humongous gold field. And so then the battle went on, who would get this gold? And that was how basically the Revolutionary War actually got settled, is they allowed the gold from North Carolina to go to England rather than stay in the United States. And it had not been for that, that probably the war would have continued. Then the treaty came up that allowed that gold to go through, and Thomas Jefferson in 1811 had enough votes to block the treaty, and that's what the War of 1812 was all about, is that basically they cut through and went right to Washington, D.C., destroyed most of Washington. They gave Thomas Jefferson and his followers two choices. We either put you all in stockades, which they had already done. That's where Andrew Jackson ended up when he was a child. And so they said, you got two choices, renew the bank charter and let's still have the gold, or we'll just level you all out and put you all in concentration camps. And so Jefferson had no choice, but then in 1813, then the bank was renewed. This, again, was called the Federal Reserve, not the Federal Reserve System, but the name of the bank. The first bank was called the United States Constitutional Bank that transferred all the gold over. The next name of the bank in 1813 was renamed the Federal Reserve. And because Charlotte, North Carolina, was such a hotbed of all this gold, there was also now another families coming in called the Springs family. There was also the Pasteur family, and they were all royalty. They were all related to royalty. And the legend goes is that Lincoln, his mother had an affair with one of these hierarchy, with one of these monarchs, with nobility, and he then had a actual noble type of lineage to him. But then she packed up and went off to Illinois. But again, you have to understand that royalty follows royalty. Whenever you have a royal blood type of thing and you have a pregnancy, they follow you. And they knew that Lincoln, again, the son, was of a noble bloodline. Now he goes into law school, and one of his law buddies that he's there with is a person by the name of Felix Turner Hughes, and we'll bring up that name later on in the program. Just remember that when Lincoln went to law school, he was with Felix Turner Hughes. He then also married Mary Todd Lincoln. He already had a previous marriage where the wife died. He then went with Mary Todd, and then now the next aspect, though, is because he becomes a circuit lawyer. And then Lincoln then goes from one town to the next as a circuit lawyer, and it takes him away from his home. Now, the story also goes, according to what Linda's research was, is that Lincoln then was introduced to another child like him. She was a female by the name of Elizabeth, and she was a non-marriage, you want to say, I could just use the word, but she was a bastard child of King Leopold, and they sent her over to America. One of the rules in people don't realize in nobility is they really like to have nobility mating with nobility. They do not like to have outsiders, and so that's really when they can encourage nobility to go with nobility, they do it. So Lincoln then had an affair with this Elizabeth, and he had twin daughters. This is 10 years before he became president. Now he becomes president. Again, because of his noble lineage, people don't realize, again, is that Lincoln was a nobody in 1858, 1859. And like so many other, like the Rockefellers, who also have royal blood with them, they're also of bastard children. There are so many people that all are nobodies, and then all of a sudden they become somebody. Why? Because they have some sort of noble or lineage to them. And Lincoln was no exception, because he was nobody. He was absolutely a no person, and then all of a sudden gets nominated and becomes president. Well, part of the reason why they also put him in is they thought he was one of the good old boys, and he knew his lineage. He was introduced. He knew he had royal blood in him. But the people don't realize then is that the real true heroism of Abraham Lincoln is that he did not follow the script and the plan. When he got into become president, one of the first thing he did was fire all the generals. This enraged all the people that put him into power, because he was supposed to be just a yes man. The Confederacy was supposed to then break away. Everything was, you know, all the script, and he then rewrote the whole script. And another script also that he rewrote was of the banking, is that he would not go with the whole thing about banking. And so somebody came in, I think it was one of the Rothschilds came in and offered him to do a percentages there, a loan to the country, and he then basically threw them out of the office. And so now way that also goes is, of course, this enraged so many other people, and including your Jesuits, Vatican, et cetera. So then the plot was on, with probably Stanton being very involved. The original plot was to kidnap Lincoln. And so what they did is they went to Mary Todd, and they told her about the affair that Lincoln was having or did have with this Elizabeth.
Right, and here's, if I could just add something, here's where your research intersects with C.T. Wilcox, who brings in the point that the Vatican and Jesuit order were behind this assassination. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the original thing was, and again, we also, there's another, except for Princess Diana, the rule before was that nobility does not kill nobility. They do everything they can short of murder. But that's only a very, very last resort. And the last thing they wanted to do
just hold that. Yeah, hold that thought there. We got to take a break. So we'll be back in 3 minutes. Continue with Brian David Anderson.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving.
Okay, we're back. My guest is Brian David Anderson, and in prior shows, we've discussed the assassination plot behind Abraham Lincoln and how we, through research of authors like C.T. Wilcox, how the Vatican and the Jesuit order were involved based on a trial when Lincoln was still a lawyer with Father Chiniquy, documents that surfaced in Canada only 5 or 6 years ago that C.T. used to talk about this complex assassination attempt backed by the fascist-loving Vatican. Even back then, they were trying to destroy our country through the Civil War and the Confederacy. And this, Brian, has brought some really good more information about Abraham Lincoln and other possibilities involving who was actually in that hit team. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, again, this is all based upon the research of Linda Goodman.
Right.
And a fantastic researcher, and then she had a motivation, because why was this picture of Lincoln hanging in her house for all of her childhood? And it was also in her, it belonged to her father, and it had been in her family for a couple of generations. And how
did she ever find that out?
That's what we're going to get to. So
okay,
that's,
good.
Now remember, as we said before, is that Lincoln was a circuit judge or a circuit lawyer. Had got, went from town to town, was having an affair with another royalty, had twin daughters with this child, with this woman. Now he becomes president, and he turns on everybody. He does not follow the script whatsoever. And one of the foundations and precepts of nobility, and even if you want to go to the Jesuits, Vatican, is that especially when the person is of royal blood, they do not want to kill or assassinate the individual. That is the very, very last thing. That's just an extreme move. And the according to what Linda discovered, is that was not the motive that Stanton got involved in, and all the people, the plot that they got involved in was to kidnap Lincoln and then put him on a boat, fill him up with opium or heroin, dump him back on the streets. And one of the things also, then when they put him on the streets, so to finish that up, is that they would then come out in newspapers with this affair that he had. And so he basically would be disgraced out of office versus that of being assassinated. So that was really the original plot, was to do a matter of scandal to get him out of the presidency versus that of assassination. The only thing is, though, is the plotters made a really big mistake. They involved Mary Todd also. But Mary Todd was a major opium addict, like a lot of the women in the 1860s. We don't realize that, especially amongst the higher class, is opium addiction was rampant in the 1860s. Between 1850s and 1875, then opium was legal, and you could it was like snuff and it was like tobacco. But there was a major, major addiction problem sweeping all of the East Coast, especially amongst the higher class people. Also, too, is that Mary Todd Lincoln owned a white pearl-handled pistol, a Derringer, and she flashed this everywhere. So now they approach Mary Todd, and they say, look, this is what we want to do. We want to go ahead and kidnap him, scandal him out of office, and then what we'll do is we'll move your entire family to Europe, and you can have all the opium you want, and you can have all the peace, and et cetera. And on the surface, then, she went along and did this. But now, they also, when got involved, was her opium dealer. What was interesting about the opium dealer, who supplied her all of her opium, he was also a part-time actor. And one of his gigs that he did is the very famous actor, John Wilkes Booth, would have two engagements at the same time, say one in Boston and one in New York. Well, they were in such heavy makeup that it didn't matter. You really didn't know who the actor was. And so what he would do then is he would hire this opium dealer, who was a part-time actor, to fill in for him. And so now the part-time actor, who was also the opium dealer, gets involved, and they put the pinch on him and say, get involved, and he really doesn't want to, but he has to because of money and, he's into the whole opium thing, et cetera. Even though it's legal, he gets involved. And what his involvement was is they brought a carriage to the back of Ford's Theater. The plot was is that this fake booth goes up the back stairs, goes into the sitting area or the where both Lincoln and Mary Todd were sitting, into their booth, and then he was supposed to tap the president on the shoulder and say, "Mr. President, you have an extreme urgent message at the War Department." He was supposed to come back down the stairs. They were going to chloroform him and put him into the carriage, and then take him off. Now history. It's already been documented. That is a fact, that they found an abandoned carriage on the back of Ford's Theater. Nobody ever claimed the carriage. So that is a fact.
Brian, hold that right
there. Pick it up there from the carriage.
Yeah, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back and pick it up right there with Brian David Anderson. Back after this short message.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
there is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge.
Yeehaw!
That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Okay, we're back for the second half hour, and a couple program notes. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. That's the new website, not rbnlive.com that you may hear on some commercials that were done prior to the change of the call letters. So it's republicbroadcasting.org. Also, the archives have been updated to the end of January 2007. And in the next couple days, the shows in between that time and today are being put up on the archives. In the meantime, you can go to my website at arcticbeacon.com and scroll down to an important notice box, and you'll see audio archives here, and you'll find all the archives for the updated for these shows like Today with Brian David Anderson and others on that link, so you can pick that up there. Also, I did want to mention, on prior shows, we've documented through court records, through documentation, have made a very strong case beyond a reasonable doubt that the Vatican was involved in the hit squad that finally did in Lincoln. And we also documented that diplomatic relations with the Vatican, political relations that were solid between our government and the Vatican were ended after that assassination, and weren't renewed until Ronald Reagan when he took office. So those are documents that we've talked about on this show, and hidden history that's been left out from the American people. But how exactly it occurred, and a lot of about Lincoln's life is still a mystery coming out. And Brian David Anderson, through the work of Linda Goodman, who's passed on, is providing some insight into other things about Abe Lincoln. So go ahead, Brian.
Okay, so now the original plot was not to kill Lincoln. The plot was to kidnap him and then disgrace him, and he would have to leave the office by scandal. And again, the reason being because he was of royal lineage blood, and the last thing they want to do, the very most extreme thing in the whole royal way of doing things, is to kill someone. That's only a last resort. So now Mary Todd's opium dealer, who is now also a part-time actor and fills in for John Wilkes Booth, is now sent up the back stairs of Forge Theater. The plot was that he was supposed to tap Mr. Lincoln on the shoulder as he was watching My American Cousin and say, "Mr. President, you have a message for you, an important message at the War Department." They were supposed to go back down the stairs, Lincoln being chloroformed, then down the stairs, put on the carriage, put on a ship, filled full of opium, dumped back onto the streets, and then they were going to come out in the newspapers with this whole big scandal about him having the affair and the twin daughters with this person, Elizabeth, the royalty.
Yeah, basically so kill anything about Lincoln, but to allow him to suffer through this disgrace.
Right, exactly. That was the whole thing, was to disgrace him, but not to murder him. However, again, the plotters did a really big boner, and that was they involved Mary Todd, who was a raging opium addict, and she also probably had some very mental unstable conditions. Emotionally and mentally, she was very, very unstable. So the part-time actor opens up the door to go tell the president to come downstairs, and lo and behold, what does he see? He is absolutely shocked at what he sees. Lincoln is asleep on Mary Todd's left shoulder. Mary Todd is left-handed. She has her white pearl derringer that is, again, documented that she owned. She has it up against Lincoln's head and then shoots him. Now, this guy standing there, he's going, "Oh, my God." And so, you know, if I go back downstairs and the guys that are in the carriage, they'll think I did this. So the guy panics, and he says, "Whoa, wait a minute." And so then he goes towards the railing, and rather than go back downstairs, he jumps off the railing from the grandstand where the Lincolns were at. And again, it goes into the other two witnesses that were in the front. That's a whole other story in itself also. There was a general and his wife were sitting in the front. It was a girlfriend at the time, before Lincoln then jumps into the third act of My American Cousin. And when he does, he falls on the stage, he breaks his leg. That is where the term break a leg comes from. People don't realize that. They have the term break a leg. Well, that comes from this fake Booth, or there was then the accused Booth, falling into the third act of My American Cousin and breaking his leg. So then somebody shouts, and again, I'm sure, again, these were a co-agitator or involvement or whatever. They already knew what was going on, and they said, "There goes John Wilkes Booth." Well, it never was proven that was actually Booth himself who fell into the third act. Somebody just shouted that, and then it was John Wilkes Booth. And so there was the people in the front of the Lincolns. There was a guy by the name of General Riley. And they ended both up being put in mental institutions. Within a month of the assassination, they were both put on trumped-up charges and put into mental institutions for a couple of years. Then they got released. Then they got together, the two of them, and then she ends up being murdered, and they accuse him of murdering the wife, and they put him back into the insane asylum. So he's basically silenced. You never hear of any testimony whatsoever from this General Riley, because, again, he was put in the mental institutions, the murder charge, et cetera. Again, very, very suspicious. So now the fake Booth takes off. There's a whole other story about that, what happens to him. Now, the real Booth is up north, probably Boston, New York, or somewhere. And, my God, you know, here, you know, his career, everything is blasted away, because also now it would come out that this fake Booth, that this part-time actor, was doing a lot of his gigs for him. So his acting career was over with. So he gets on a boat, goes over to Europe, and then in 1868, an American shows up in New Delhi, India, and becomes a fabulous, famous actor in India. He's an American. And he really looks a whole lot like John Wilkes Booth. So now you had Mary Todd, and one of the things that Linda discovered was that there's always a legend that says, oh, she was so distraught and she couldn't go to the funeral. Well, that's not the case at all. According to the records of the National Archives, Mary Todd Lincoln was barred from the funeral, and she demanded to go, but they locked her in and they put guards by the door and locked her in her room during the funeral. Number two thing also is that there's indication that this is also a factual story, and this is one of the most per se strongest evidence that Mary Todd was involved. At the very least, she was somehow involved in the assassination, or the I say it was a domestic violence here. Now, basically, is that Congress, the House of Representatives, had to approve all widowers' pensions and retirements, and so especially the widowers' pension. So she came up for a vote three times, not once, but three times for her widower's pension to the House of Representatives, and every time, three times, she was rejected. She never received a widower's pension. Now, here is the most popular president of our time, and they refused to give a widower's pension to Mrs. Lincoln. That is one of the most damning pieces of evidence, I feel, that indications that at the very least she was involved, and most likely she was the perpetrator. And there's also so many other things, too, when it goes to Robert Todd Lincoln, the son of Abraham and Mary Todd. He did everything he could to destroy evidence, and he became then the president of Pullman Car Company, and they gave him a real cushy job. And basically, he was a big gambler, like women, etc., and he basically was bought off. And he did everything he could to destroy as much information as possible. One of the things that would have probably done Lincoln in anyway, had he lived, there probably would have been a major scandal. We go back now to remember the lawyer that he went to school with, Felix Turner Hughes.
Right, we're going to bring that up. Yeah, go ahead.
So Felix Turner Hughes, his family had a major cotton plantation in South Carolina. And one of the things probably that would have done Lincoln in would have been a major scandal with what's called cotton passes. Supposedly there was a major embargo of all products coming from the South. However, because of the personal relationship that he had being in law school with Felix Turner Hughes, he then gave secret cotton passes to Felix Turner, and Felix Turner was then able to sell some of his cotton to the North. And this was also going to be part of the exposure that they were going to do to scandalize him out, because they had already discovered that he had been secretly giving these passes to his old buddy in South Carolina so that he could make a living and he wouldn't starve. And that was basically why Lincoln was doing that. It was just basically because he knew that the family farm would be going down. And so that was a whole major thing. Now, when he dies, he now had already made preparations, because the mother of his twin daughters, this royal person, she also died. And so he had the two children with friends. But when he died, he made arrangements for both of them, and they couldn't stay together. So he had been a lot of communications and contact with Felix Turner Hughes. He sent one of these daughters to Felix Turner Hughes. Upon his death, she was then transferred to Felix Turner Hughes. The other child then went to the Illinois family of Abraham Lincoln. That is then Linda discovered is that she was part of that lineage. And that's how the picture ended up, is that he gave the picture to the one daughter. And as she grew up, she had this picture, and Linda Goodman said her father...
And she was from the lineage of the one twin daughter from
right.
the noble family who Lincoln had an affair, the woman that Lincoln had an affair with, right?
Exactly. And so now she never met her... she talked when she talked to her father, she said that when he was growing up, she used to look at the picture and then break out crying. And they say, you know, why are you crying? She said, I'll just let dogs lie. We just need to have, let sleeping dogs lie. But every time, many times, she would then break out crying because what it was, that was her father.
Mm-hmm.
So and then she knew it. I mean, they informed her who she was. They informed her the whole story, et cetera. Now, here's, you cannot make this up. We could take the most wildest science fiction and fiction writers and try to make up this whole story, but reality many times is so much more far out and wild than science fiction or fiction is. Now,
yeah, especially when you're involved in these types of intrigues with New World Order, even back then.
Yeah, you bet that. That's where they get it all from.
Right, and it's going on today. You can see the similarities in Kennedy's assassination, plots like 9/11,
right.
That go so many directions. But go ahead. Yeah, it's interesting.
So now here's where it gets really crazy, and you can't make this up. Now, Felix Turner Hughes, again, ran this large cotton plantation. However, then he was getting older, and there was a relative, either a cousin or and this has happened many times in the South. They would name their all their relatives all the same name. There was now another Felix Monroe Hughes, and it was either he either murdered or he ran off Felix Turner Hughes. Now Felix Monroe Hughes, who didn't know Lincoln or anything else of the sort, takes over the plantation. And also, the man is also fairly much of a criminal, of course, and especially if he murdered his relative. Then he also started having sex. He started raping this daughter of Lincoln. And then she becomes impregnated. And she has the child, and she names the child Howard.
Okay.
Howard Hughes.
So we have a connection to Hughes, Howard Hughes here now.
Howard Hughes Sr., not the one we know in the 20th century, but Sr.
Okay.
So now Howard, he knows some of his lineage also. They then, because again, they track lineage. Remember, they try to track as much as possible. The whole thing goes is that Colin Powell is actually related to the Bushes because they all go back to King George II. And King George II, some of his descendants went to, where he came from, the island in the Caribbean. So
and I think
track.
I've seen lineage that ties Kerry, John Kerry
right.
with the Bush family.
Right,
too.
Exactly. So they follow, but when you are a blood, they follow everything. They know they knew where the daughter went to, then they found out that she wasn't pregnant, and then they did follow that they knew that this Howard Hughes then also was of royal lineage, and especially now he's also of lineage of Lincoln. But now Howard Hughes Sr. Then pretty much has to make it on his own. He then comes up with this drill bit. And that's where, again, how you drill for oil, he developed this. However, one of the persons that financed him, and this is going to also, we could do a whole other program on this. We can come back and do on the life of Jesse James. He did fake his death. And he had this far-out life, and again, this is some of the things that Linda discovered through many, not only of her Lincoln thing, but of other things. And I also have done some research on Jesse James and been given some really, really fantastic information. But Jesse James was also a very wealthy man. He had faked his death but was very wealthy. He financed the Howard Hughes drill. And that's how Howard Hughes got started, was by money from Jesse James. And so now he became fabulously wealthy because of this drill bit. He now marries into a family called Aileen Geno and the Loomis family out of Texas. And Howard Hughes Sr. is now married to Aileen Geno out of Texas. she has a stillbirth, and because of the stillbirth, she then goes mentally unstable and emotionally and et cetera. So now he makes plans to divorce her, and the family then panics, but they don't realize that also Howard Hughes Sr. had relationships with other women. He was now in his 40s or 50s, and he already had relationships with other women. But they then thought that was the only relationship. That was their mistake, because then what they did is they went ahead and poisoned both of them. They killed Howard Hughes Sr. and the wife, the relative. They poisoned both of them, thinking that they were going to inherit the Hughes fortune.
Well, and this is all stuff Linda's finding out, trying to trace her
lineage. And again, she showed me, now one of the things was, is that now she lays out these pictures in front of me one day. She goes, "Who is this?" I go, "Well, that's Howard Hughes." And she goes, "Well, look closer." And I look closer, and she goes, "Do you?" And I was a photojournalist in college. And we'll get back to the pictures here in a second.
And I want to find out what happened to whatever happened to Lincoln's the portrait in her in Linda's house. Back right after this short message on the Investigative Journal.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Walking towards Washington.
Walk till peace has come.
Okay, we're back for our final segment with Brian David Anderson. Brian, we have about 3 or 4 minutes here, so go ahead and wrap it up for us. And we'll, down the road, we'll have another show on this and continue, but go ahead.
I'll just finish up real quick on the Howard Hughes thing that people think about. Is now that the Howard Hughes Sr. and his wife are murdered. Now, Jesse James steps back in, and the reason being is because Howard Hughes had children with other people. the Loomis family and the general family didn't know this. So what he did is gathered these boys together. There was twins named Howard Jr. and Robard, and there was another son named David. There may have been a fourth, but there was definitely three. Three of the sons and Jesse James met in England, and he then laid out the whole plot to them. They knew who their father was, and so, but they said he's been murdered. So what Jesse James recommended they all do is become one person, and they all became Howard Hughes. The Howard Hughes of the 20th century was actually three people, and that's how all of his biography then fits in. David was the movie producer. He was the one that was all wild and crazy about Hollywood. Robard was the scientist of the group. He was the one that was married to Katharine Hepburn. And Howard Jr. was the president of TWA, was basically ran everything. And so when Linda Goodman put these pictures out in front of me, I said, it's Howard Hughes. But then you start looking closer, and when you inbreed with loyalty, one of the things happens is they start getting the drooped eye, and that's what Linda also has. That's what Lincoln has. And he has the drooped eye. Howard has the drooped eye, Howard Jr., or Junior, but he has no mole on his nose. If you look then and you see Robard has no droop in his eye, but he has a mole on his nose. David doesn't have the drooped eye or the mole, but he has these real floppy type of ears. And they had great fun running a scam on everybody because they needed to do an engagement, and they were busy. So one brother would go do this, one would go do that. But I challenge anybody to go find pictures of Howard Hughes. You will not find that that there's subtle differences. They all look very similar, but they are major differences. And this makes up the two brothers were in an airplane crash. David and Robard were, and it may have even been a levitating type of craft, but they crashed. Headline comes out, Howard Hughes in air crash will be dead by morning. The next morning, here is Howard Hughes, totally okay, has a Band-Aid on his toe, and says, I'm just fine. Well, what happened is they took the two brothers that were in the wreck, and they took them off to England to recover. Robard did die, and Howard then replaced the two of them in the hospital. And that's how then Howard Hughes has this major air crash, and then 1 year later, he comes in and testifies, and almost looks in perfect health. That's because it was the two other brothers that were in the air crash, and it was Howard Jr. who then took over everything. This also goes now at Howard Hughes Aerospace was running everything, and then they brought the Loomis family back in and the Geno family. They made a claim for the Hughes fortune in a kangaroo court in Texas, and that became a CIA op known as the Summa Corporation. So that's how they took it all over, is that basically aerospace was major, everything was all Howard Hughes, and they started diversifying because that really scared them. When the two brothers went down, they had to do something. So the Howard Hughes of the 20th century was actually three people. They were three brothers, had a great time running a scam on everybody.
Well, we got about 20 seconds. Whatever happened to that portrait of Lincoln that Linda had?
After Linda died, it went to her son, and he has it in safekeeping.
Okay, Brian. Well, listen, thanks so much for sharing your research with us, and we're going to have you back again, so we're all out of time. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. Take care.
That was Brian David Anderson. We're going to come back. We got my guest, Mike Novielli from the Prophetic Angel. We'll be back right after this short message.